Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, my precious brothers and sisters. Good afternoon. That was Steph McLeod, and the song is entitled Rain Down, one of Sister Marie's selections for her show. Well, you have tuned in to the End Time News Report. It is a weekly broadcast. Sister Marie is the host, and I am the button pusher. And praise be to God that we have this wonderful show, because it brings to the fore many, many things. You know, this show is prophetic in this sense. Sister Marie's talking about things 3, 4, 5 years in advance, and then when she does a show, then 4 or 5 years later it comes to pass. That's what you were talking about. So this is an End Time News Report, and it's quite prophetic, and we love this show. We can appreciate all the hard work that Sister Marie does to put this show together. She's already in studio. I'm pretty sure she's going to give me $10 for that great intro I just gave her. No, Sister Marie, I'm not a heretic preacher. I am not one of those preachers that, you know, lays it on heavy in order for people to give them offerings. No, you hold on to the $10, Sister Marie. Hold on to the $10. I'm not that kind of a preacher. But I can tell you we have a wonderful show in store for you. Before we get into the show, let me remind everyone that on a very serious note, we are praying for Brother Kevin Morris. Kevin Morris happens to be the brother of the late Sister Linda Morris, a faithful listener to the show, who passed away last year of cancer. Well, he's got bone cancer now. Her baby brother has bone cancer. And I promised her to keep an eye on her brother and to keep an eye on her children, and we're doing just that. And he's got bone cancer, so we need to keep praying for Brother Kevin. I'm going to call him today. If I reach out to him today and he doesn't pick up, then I'll try again tomorrow. I'm sure he's going through some changes now that, you know, he started the treatment. And from what I hear, the treatment is tough. It's tough. So let's keep Brother Kevin Morris in prayer. The gentleman by the name of John Hart, who we've been praying for, who had the appendicitis, keep praying for him. He's in recovery. He's in recovery, so keep praying for him. And he had a horrible experience with the hospitals in upstate New York. Horrible, horrible experience. So his appendicitis burst, and then the EMS didn't want to pick him up. They picked him up a day later. Can you imagine that? Having your appendix burst and the EMS, none are available to pick you up, and then they take you one hospital, they take you to another, and all the hospitals are full. He has to go to a hospital almost 4 hours away from where he lives to have surgery. This is it. What is America? Is America a third world nation now? Is that what we've become, a third world nation, with all of this Obamacare and all of this supposed health care, and you can keep your doctor and you're going to have better health care and you're going to the prescriptions are going to be low? It's all baloney. Well, that's not what this show is about. Let me bring on my dear sister. Okay, come on, computer. This is not a time for you to be acting up, especially when I have to push buttons. How you doing, Sister Marie?
I'm doing all right, and you?
I'm doing good. I'm practicing my introductions. I just gave you a $25 introduction And, you know, you were getting a family discount. I was only charging you 10. But
I heard that. You're so bad. Go ahead.
Yes, 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 yes. So how's the weather by you? Is it nice?
It's cold, but it's warming up. We're going to have a few days of warmer weather.
Yes,
now, warmer,
I've heard
that. I'm talking like 58.
That's good. That's good. It'll melt all this 30. Snow I have here. It'll melt all this crazy snow.
Yeah, I woke up yesterday and there was snow everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a mess. It's a mess here. It's a mess.
Yeah.
But,
well,
okay, all right. So we're getting some, we're going to get some good weather coming in. So
for
that's
a few
good.
Days.
Yeah, yeah, for, yeah, listen, we're, listen, listen. The snow's coming. It's going to come and keep coming. And so, you know, take it. Take the wonderful days of sunshine and the good weather when you get them. That's it. Because I'll be out there shoveling till the cows come home. So,
soon enough.
Yeah,
soon enough.
That's it. That's it. That, absolutely right. Absolutely right. That's Steph McLeod, boy. That young man, he's got. He's got some song. That young man can sing. I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah. Great songwriter too. Not only can he sing well, but he writes those songs too.
And he plays well.
I mean, incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He plays well too. He plays the, you know, he plays the guitar magnificently.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So tell us. Tell us about what's going on in your neck of the woods. Is your governor acting up?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we had that shooting, which was about an hour from me. And right away, she was up there, you know, calling for a ban on guns.
Sure.
You know.
Absolutely, yeah.
So she's up for re-election, and I imagine she will probably just take it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, when I sent you that thing about Cuomo, you know,
right,
that was of interest to me because our governor did exactly the same thing he did. So, you know, minus the assault on the women.
Right.
Or the alleged assault on the women.
You
know, so it's interesting now that they're going to at least look into it. So that could affect, you know, what's happening here. Maybe.
Sure.
Don't know.
Sure.
Did you
Absolutely.
Watch that, by the way?
No, I didn't get a chance to because we have two new babies in the house. And I'm changing diapers and I'm taking the babies for walks and nobody's getting up at 5 a.m. when they're screaming their heads off, including mama. Mama's staying in bed nice and warm. And so I have two brats that I have to take care of. And and then yesterday they told me, "We're out of dog food. We're out of dog food." So and then they said, "And don't get the little bag. Get the big bag." So I got the big bag of puppy chow. $19.
$19.
Yes.
That's good. My dog's
good.
50. It's 50
good.
Bucks a bag for my dog.
Listen. Listen. I'm going to become Filipino. In the Philippines, they eat their dogs. I'm going to have to eat these.
Oh, maybe.
I'm going to have to barbecue these two because $19 is the last time I'm buying them a bag of food.
Mm-hmm.
What? $19 a puppy chow? No way.
Well, mine has to have the special chihuahua kind, you know. That's 50 bucks a bag for a big bag.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, Chico's a movie star, you know. He stars in his own videos, you know. He gets to travel to Yellowstone Park and look at the buffaloes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Chico's the man. Chico, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to have a $50 bag of dog food.
It lasts a long time, though, because they're little, you know. So
right. Sure.
It lasts
yeah.
them a really long time, but still, you know. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
but, yeah, fatten yours up just in case you got to eat them later.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it.
Mine's like
Daddy,
a buffalo
what is
wing.
This? Daddy, what is this? What is this that we're eating? I think it's rabbit. Daddy, what a big leg this rabbit has. Yeah, it was a monster rabbit. Yeah, it was a huge rabbit. Daddy, where's
Hers
Bruno?
A hot wing.
Where's
wing.
Bruno, Daddy? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Bruno's
oh,
in rabbit heaven. Sure. Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah.
No. That was it. That's it. And the funny thing is, right? Yeah. They send me out for it. It's not like. Because then they're going to have to dip into their pockets. So, like
oh,
the food,
yeah.
I go out, and don't forget the dog food, and it's don't get the little bag, get the big bag. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they set me up, sure. Sure, they set me up.
Yeah.
But
part of being a new parent.
Yeah, sure,
you know?
Sure. The thing is, I'm technically a grandparent because the dogs belong
yeah.
to the children. So,
yeah.
You know,
oh,
it's yeah, sure.
Your grandchildren
but,
now.
Yeah, listen. Compared to what's going on in the world, I have no complaints.
Yeah.
I should have no complaints.
Right.
I should have.
Now,
no
how
complaints.
Many laughs have you had over them? Have you had a few
how many
laughs?
What? No,
laughs.
No laughs. No laughs yet.
No laughs.
No.
That's
no,
bad.
I'm a Scrooge now. I'm
they're
the
not
Grinch.
Funny. Then.
No, they're not
oh.
funny. They're not funny.
Oh, that's
especially
terrible.
especially when they do something in the park, and it smells to high heaven, and steam's coming out of it, and I have to pick it up. yeah, I am
just
not.
Just keep walking.
well, listen. There are other people there walking their dogs, too, and everybody's
oh,
keeping an
you.
Eye on everybody.
yes.
Yeah. So, sure.
Arrested for dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Ball thing.
Exactly.
Oh,
one lady told me, boy, your dog goes out a lot. I said, no, there's two of them. You think it's the same dog. They're identical. It's two of them. She says, yeah, because you're basically living here. I said, I know I'm living here, but it's two of them. It's not the same dog. It's two different dogs.
Right, right.
So,
oh,
yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. While some funny. People are freezing themselves, I'm freezing myself twice. because, you know.
Oh, it's fun.
That's it. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's
sure.
fun. Wait till
yeah.
they lock you out of the car. You go to get something and you shut the door and then they lock the
oh,
door.
Oh, my goodness.
That's fun.
Oh,
that's
my
happened.
Goodness. Wow.
yeah.
Wow.
Like, why did you leave the keys in the ignition? Well, I shut the car off. Yeah, but you know if you shut the door, the first thing
mm-hmm.
they do is put their paws up
right.
and look out the window
right.
and lock
sure.
the door. So,
absolutely.
You know, you call AAA.
Yeah.
You get AAA
you
on the phone to let you
yeah.
back in your car.
Sure.
So
what a
get
mess.
Two keys.
What, yeah. yeah. Always thanks. Leave with your keys. Always.
Yes.
Always. Always.
Oh, well.
So,
well, such is
so
life.
We have a, yes, we have a show today. Tell us what it's about.
Well, we're going to deal with fear. We're going to spend a few shows dealing with fear. Excuse me, I think that's an important subject. So today we're doing a podcast titled, Why Are You Afraid? I'm not sure when it was done, but it was premiered August 18th, 2021. Okay, this was done by our brothers, Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker. of Just Thinking Ministries. You know, when I was searching for an audio on the subject of fear, I came across this. And I believe this is exactly what we're looking for. So I'm going to read the audio description. It says,
okay.
COVID-19, mask mandate, vaccine passport, inflation, job security, these realities and more have many professing Christians today locked in the throes of fear and anxiety about the future. To be sure, not all fear and anxiety Christians experience is sinful. And yet there are times when the fear and anxiety we feel is in fact not keeping with how God would have his people respond. So
right.
How do you recognize and respond rightly to sinful fear and anxiety? What's the remedy for overcoming it? Well, Daryl and Virgil consider these critical questions through the lens of the Word of God in this episode of the Just Thinking podcast. Why are you afraid? So, there's a lot of fear out there, a lot of fear. And I think, you know, I would like to tackle this, and I think it's reassuring. I think it's perfect for the season that we're in. So do you have any comments on that, what I just read?
Yeah, well, Brother Virgil and the other guy, what's his name?
Daryl.
They are men of great repute. We have listened to them. They're always well prepared. They're always extremely versed in the subject that they're tackling. They never disappoint, never. And I'm really looking forward to hearing this because as we look around us with this Omicron thing popping up, and who knows if that thing is real, you know, we don't know, you know. And now I heard today that there's another – There's a variant to the Omicron variant. So, you know, what they're just pumping fear. They're just, you know, and of course, I mean, I'm a Christian. Why should I fear? The Bible is filled with fear nots. I'm not fearing.
Right.
But Daryl and Virgil want to tackle the subject because obviously in many church pulpits, they're not preaching fear not. They're helping with the fear. They're helping assist the fear in many churches.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to what they have to say because, like I always said, they never disappoint. They're just phenomenal in what they, you know, what they do and how they do their presentations. So looking forward to seeing, you know, how these men of God operate in this series.
Well, there's literally, I looked it up, 995 verses found in the Bible that have the word fear in them, you know?
Right.
995. For me personally, I always go back to 1 John 4:18. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, this fear is terror and alarm that we're seeing now. So the object cause of the fear, you know, we need to get to the root of that. Is it something that, you know, we should feel or shouldn't feel? You know, this verse, I believe, talks about like a sudden fear, maybe an alarm or fright, you know.
Right.
And it suggests the kind of fear, you know, the scripture tells us that with that kind of fear, what you're lacking, it even provides and tells us what we're lacking. We're lacking in love for the Lord then and putting our trust in him.
Right.
You know, it's faith and trust in him is how you overcome this. I mean, it gives you the problem that gives you the answer. You know, so these are the kind of fears that we need to avoid.
Right.
So if I'm feeling anxious or, you know, I'm upset, I think of this scripture and I go back to, am I not trusting or do I not have enough faith in the Lord in this area? You know, is there a lack of love for the Lord in this area? Love and trust. Love and trust go together. You know, when you love someone, you normally trust that person.
Right.
And that's
right.
Exactly what we need to do. So I thought it was timely. I think it's a good time to do this, to end the year with this and to go into the new year, you know, with a good mindset of
right.
Because there's a lot of things going on around us. And I think it's a good time to just, you know, take a breath and look at this and find out what is sinful fear and what is normal, you know, things that we feel. So we're going to start this at 9:01. I want to tell you that because he has a lot of music. He plays over and over again. And he does advertise in that time a book that they've put out. And so it's Just Thinking. I'll tell you where you can get the book. It's Just Thinking About the State. So if you're interested, that's the name of the book, the title of the book. If you're interested in that, you can find it at founders.org. So that's the name of the book, and that's what they're advertising.
Right. How much are they selling the book for?
I think it's around $14, $14.95 or something.
That's not
bad. He talked
about
pre-ordering. Yeah, he talked about pre-ordering the book. You get a, you know, you get a discount. But then he talked about putting it out in, I'm not sure if he said 2020, because this wasn't premiered, this audio, until that I saw until August 18th, 2021. So the book is out now. Regardless, the book is out. And it's called Just Thinking About the State. So, and it's at founders.org if you're looking for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's, you know, it could be interesting. These two guys are just amazing to
right,
me.
Right.
And a lot of this you'll find with Daryl and Virgil, a lot of things, there's really not a lot that you could disagree with. I mean, they really cover it together, both of them. They really take a subject and they, you know, make sure every area that is covered, kind of like with your teaching. You know, you can't penetrate it. You can't penetrate the teaching and say, you know, that's not right. You know, because normally they do their research. So that's what I like about them, and that's why I think it's important. And I'm thrilled. I'm personally thrilled they put that out because that's our subject matter,
right,
you know,
right.
for the end of the year. And listen, you know, we really need – one of the things I'm going to do because I'm doing this show, I'm going to – when we're off, I want to review those 995 verses. That's something I have on. I want to go through all 995 verses, if I have time, to do them all and study each one. What's it pertaining to, you know?
Wow.
And look at each one of those verses in the Bible and find out, you know, who is it talking to? What was it meant for? Is it, you know, is it a sinful fear there? Is it you know, a natural fear that we would have, like something that just startles us.
Right.
You know, there's all kinds of fear. So I want to look at them. I think it would be interesting to do that, you know, the different, to really go through the different kinds of fear that there is. You know, and you think there's one fear, but there's not really. I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of fear. You can be startled. Like you were telling me a story the other day about being, you know, you can get startled by something in an
absolutely.
Aisle.
Right.
I've had
I was
that
in, yeah. Yeah. I was,
tell the story.
I was,
that was funny.
Yeah. I was, my wife was dragging me from one store to another because she had to get, you know, things for Christmas. And of course I'm her Uber. So we come to the store where I know that they have.
My husband, you sound like my husband.
Right. So we arrive at the store where I know they have the kind of stuff I like, which is action figures. My kids mm-hmm. call them daddy's dolls, but I don't have mm-hmm. dolls. I have action figures. So I was in the aisle, and unbeknown to me, I was passing this doll that was motion sensitive. So when you pass by the doll starts to talk and wave the hands and the whole thing. So I'm so focused on what's in front of me and behind me. As I move, this doll starts to speak, and I just jumped because it was a creepy sounding doll. And there was a lady in the aisle, and she says, "Yeah, it scared me too." And
The more I thought of that, the more I thought it's happened to me. Everyone can say that happened to them.
Right.
That's just
right.
One of those things that's a startling type of fear, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I could say that about a spider. You know, I saw a spider going,
mm-hmm.
spider there. I mean, you hear me
right.
scream. It startled me, you know, or things like that, you know, or someone
sure.
jumped out. You're thinking, you're really thinking about something really deep, and someone walk up behind you and you don't realize it. Turn around and you go, "Oh, geez, you scared me." You know, you didn't hear them coming. You were so deep in thought. Those are all things that startle you. This is different.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is different.
Sure.
So anyway, we're going to start at 9:01 and get started on this. So now that we have your personal story of non-sinfuls here, you know, and I'm sure you laughed about it later, because I laughed about it when you told me.
Yeah, I mean, I laughed about it.
My husband laughed because I told him about it, because he's had the same situation.
Right.
He knew.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a Twilight Zone episode, a Twilight Zone, a Rod Sterling, you know, Rod. And there's one where Teddy Savalas plays the role of a hateful stepfather, and his
mm-hmm.
and his stepdaughter has a doll called Talking Tina.
Yeah.
And the little girl's mommy buys the doll for her, and the stepfather goes, "What are you doing wasting my money on this child, this brat child, blah, blah, blah." And so he says, "Look, Daddy, the doll talks." And she pulls the cord. "Hi, I'm Talking Tina." And he says, "Take that
mm-hmm.
doll back. The doll's a piece of garbage, blah, blah, blah." So to make a long story short, the doll winds up killing Telly Savalas. So anytime I don't like talking dolls. So they're creepy.
Yeah.
And not because I'm wicked or because I have, you know, they're just creepy. Dolls
creepy.
And wooden puppets. Wooden puppets are just creepy. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just creepy.
And clowns.
Especially clowns. Especially clowns. Especially
yeah, there
clowns.
Are things that are creepy like that.
Yeah.
I know my granddaughter, I bought some dolls that were older antique, and one of them was a talking doll, and it had a red hair, and there's a movie out, and I don't know which one it was, but she had seen that with my daughter, and she said, "I don't want that doll anywhere near me." You have to take it out and put it outside somewhere.
Right.
And I said, "Really? Tell me about it." You know, and then I yelled at my daughter. She said, "I don't think I watched that movie in front of her." She says, "I don't know."
Sure.
But she was really afraid of the talking doll. She hated it.
Yep.
So I said, "Okay, I'll move it outside."
Yeah, they are creepy. They are creepy.
Yeah.
So,
No
dolls.
Okay,
9:01. Okay.
9:01. Okay.
We go. Yeah, you know, Omaha, the episode of the Just Thinking podcast that we're recording today is somewhat unique in that the topic we're dealing with is one that was suggested to us by numerous listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We don't normally make a practice of taking suggestions for topic ideas, though we do appreciate that our listeners think highly enough of the Just Thinking podcast to trust us to deal faithfully with the topics they do suggest to us.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
So we're very thankful, and we're incredibly humbled by that. Now, that said, we're here today on this episode of the Just Thinking podcast to talk about what the Word of God has to say about sinful fear and anxiety.
Mm.
Now, I say sinful fear and anxiety because I believe there's an important distinction to be made between illegitimate fear and anxiety and fear and anxiety that is, in fact, legitimate. Now, we'll endeavor to examine those distinctions later in this episode, but suffice it to say, not all fear and anxiety is sinful in and of itself, okay? Not all fear and anxiety is sinful in and of itself. You know, one of the manifestations of God's common grace in the world is that embedded within each of us as image bearers of God is an element of fear and anxiety that is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy, that is, in the sense that when one considers that we live in a world that has been corrupted by sin, we know that from Romans 8, 19 through 21, there are occasions and instances when expressions of fear or anxiety are entirely right and proper, okay? For example, let's say you wake up tomorrow morning and find that there's a brown recluse spider on your pillow looking you right in the face. Now, in such a situation, I would suggest that you have every right to be fearful because of your awareness that brown recluse spiders are among some of the most venomous spiders in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And to be bitten by one is very likely to result in serious bodily harm to you. But that's just one example. There are others, of course. But the point I'm trying to make here is perhaps better reflected in these words from Dr. Stuart Scott, who in his book titled Anger, Anxiety, and Fear, A Biblical Perspective, says this, quote, "There is a fear or danger and difficult circumstances that is reasonable. We would not be living in reality if we did not even consider how an upcoming situation might affect us. God wants us to live in reality, but at the same time, he wants us to bring him into the picture. It is reasonable to respond to danger and disaster. God has equipped us with a bodily response, an increase in adrenaline production that can help us when physical danger is imminent. This increase can cause other bodily responses, pounding heart, muscle tension, heightened awareness, dry mouth, perspiration, and butterflies of the stomach, as long as we do not let our fear or our feelings keep us from doing what is right and we turn to God in our fear. That fear is not ungodly."
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We are all going to feel afraid sometimes, but don't make the mistake of equating courage with a lack of feeling afraid.
That's good.
The most courageous Christians are those who feel afraid, but who, when they feel afraid, place their trust in God and do what he says to do. The question is, what do we do when we are afraid? And then Dr. Scott closes that quote with Psalm 56:3, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you."
Mm.
That quote was from Dr. Stuart Scott from his book, Anger, Anxiety, and Fear, A Biblical Perspective. Now, it is against the backdrop of those words from Dr. Stuart Scott that I think it would be helpful at this point in our episode, Omaha, to set some expectations for our listeners, particularly with regard to what this episode is not, okay? I want to clarify what this episode is not. This episode of the Just Thinking podcast on sinful fear and anxiety should not be construed or regarded as an exhaustive or comprehensive treatment of that subject, nor is this episode intended to address any and every conceivable individual situation or circumstance imaginable in which a believer might experience sinful fear and anxiety, or conversely, how he or she should respond in every situation and circumstance, because such instances are unique to each individual. Our goal in this episode of the Just Thinking podcast is simply to provide our listeners with some biblical principles and precepts from God's word concerning the topic of sinful fear and anxiety, as God grants us the humility and wisdom to do so. We want to encourage believers to take those principles and precepts that we're going to discuss, take them to heart, and apply them in their own lives so far as the Spirit of God directs them, okay? And I think our heart's desire for people who are listening to this episode of the Just Thinking Podcast is reflected quite well, Omaha, in these words from the 17th century English Puritan John Owen, who in his book titled Searching Our Hearts in Difficult Times said this, quote, "Oh, that we might advise one another as to what to do, to help one another to recover from our weaknesses." This is what we are called to, what is required of us, to have faith in the faithfulness of Christ, who has built his church upon the rock, so that however bad things might be, nothing will prevail against it. To have faith in the fullness of the Spirit and Christ's promise to send him to renew the face of the church. To have faith in apprehending the truth of God, who has foretold these things, and to have a faith that stirs us up to attend to those special duties that God requires at our hands at such a time," unquote. And that is our desire and prayer for this episode of the Just Thinking Podcast, that God would grant us his wisdom so that we might be able to advise our brothers and sisters who may be struggling with sinful fear and anxiety to, as John Owen said, recover from their weaknesses. And we all have weaknesses. All of us, every one of us has weaknesses. As Dr. David Powlison, whom I will quote on more than one occasion over the course of this episode, writes in his excellent book titled How Sanctification Works, Dr. Powlison says this, quote, "The darkness of the human condition is characterized by two immense wrongs that create turmoil throughout our lives. A complete mix of moral evils arises from inside us. A complex mix of situational evils besets us. The Bible uses the word evil to describe both sin and suffering, just as we do in English. Something inside us is wrong. Something inside us is wrong. People believe, think, feel, want, and do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the obvious atrocities are moral evils, but the falsity, self-deception, and godlessness of, quote, normal, unquote, life, and the misshapenness of, quote, normal, unquote, desires similarly count as moral evil in God's assessment. We are, quote, off, unquote, in relation to both God and other people, and things outside us are wrong. Bad things happen to us. Other people betray us. We face losses, sicknesses, and death. We swim in the falsehoods of our sociocultural milieu. A liar and murderer, meaning Satan, is out to deceive and kill us. In sum, we face troubles externally. We are troublesome interpersonally, and we are troubled psychologically, struggling both with what we face and with who we are," unquote.
Any comment to that point?
Well, I would say yes. I do have one. I mean, do we struggle with what we face because we know who we are, you know, truly are? I would say yes. Sometimes we do, finite. And sometimes that, instead of looking at Christ, we look at ourselves, our finite self, and say, you know, gee, I'm not sure I can do this, you know. And I would say that a task from the Lord sometimes, you know, can seem humongous in the light when we recognize who we are and we see
right.
What's going on around us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we understand who we are. We see these things going on around us. You know, in light of who we are, they can seem humongous. But when the reality, you know, of who we are, you know, that we're mere mortals and things like that, we do struggle with that. However, the Lord, it's not our struggle. It's He is, you know. It's in His hands. And I'm saying again, the sovereignty of God, if you really understand that, that takes away so much fear. Because we're always looking at things. I think we go back to ourselves all the time to look at what we can accomplish and what we can do. And you know, we know who we are. And
right.
that can bring fear. How do you interpret that? What do you see? Did
yeah,
that make sense to you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because it does to me.
Right. I mean, this is why we turn to God in prayer, because we know that if we try
mm-hmm.
to handle something in our own strength, we're
mm-hmm.
just going to be defeated.
Yes.
So that's, you see, prayer was made for fear.
Yes.
Right? This world is going to be filled. This world is filled with fear. So
mm-hmm.
if there's nothing to fear, why are you praying? If you can work out everything on your own, if life is just
right.
peaches and creams, and you don't, but because we're full of fear of what can happen if God doesn't come to our rescue, we pray.
Right.
So
right.
prayer is the antidote to fear.
That's a key. Yes, that's a key
yeah.
point. Let me write. Because
yeah.
we do try to, it's a control issue. You know what I'm saying? A lot of this is control. We don't like it when someone else is in control. And when, you know, like think of an airplane. You're in an airplane. A lot of people, it bothers them to fly. I don't like flying, yet I have to fly.
Right.
You know, hundreds of times I've had to fly. And I don't like it. But
right.
what I don't like about it is I think, you know, you start thinking about the pilots in control, you know, and that's a fear. People are afraid, well, what's he going to do? Like you're
right.
going to do anything better than he is. You know, you're not. So I learned to put my trust in the Lord when I got
that's
on that
it.
Plane instead of the pilot.
That's
you
it.
Know? And that was my way of overcoming, you know, that fear of getting on that plane. And I started to recognize it was, one, I didn't like someone else having that control over me. That was
right.
actually the fear. When I recognized that, I realized, well, the one who does have control over me is in control.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I got rid of that fear that
yep.
way. So, you know, and I think that's just common that people start having fears of things that they can't control, you know. And they need to realize prayer and realizing who is in control, you know, really makes a difference.
Yeah, because prayer takes you to the one who's in control.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And he
yep.
says in his word that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Right.
So this is why we run to him. Right?
Right.
I mean, if my
yep.
wife had been in the aisle when the doll started speaking, I would have jumped into her arms because she's my mommy. Right? She's, you know, and so I was in.
You would have laughed.
But, yeah. You see? So that's what fear does.
Yes.
Right? So the child sees something. And what does he do? He runs right to mom. And, you know,
exactly.
that's the way it works.
Yeah.
That's just, you know.
So we run to the Lord with that. You know, I mean, I can remember having prayer before, like getting on the plane, and we're talking 8 hours, 7 hours, 6 hours,
right.
you know, and saying, okay, Lord, you know, I trust you. And then to take it further, you're over the ocean and there's turbulence.
Yeah.
Time to pray again. You know, let's just go a little deeper. How much is your faith? You know,
mm-hmm.
when the plane's shaking all over the place.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Let's see
Correct.
how you know, you have faith there, you just start praying harder. That's all you can do. So
right.
Yeah. But you know, it's these things come up. Well, I think that's where we need to turn back and look at the Lord. And these are the things that we face around us. There's all kinds of things going on. But like you said, if we understand who's in control, pray. That's exactly what we need to do in these situations.
Sure, sure.
We need, you know,
yeah.
and understand
one of,
our lack of trust.
Right. One of those verses that you're going to come across in your study It says, mm-hmm. in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Evil.
For thou art with me. So, yeah. Listen, when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, your knees are knocking.
Mm-hmm.
They just, right? I mean, but the psalmist says, I made up my mind not to fear. Why? Because you are with me. You referring to God.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, that's what happens when, you know, when we face something. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run mm-hmm. to it and are safe. That's all we have. All we have is God. We have nothing else but God. And
right.
he's the antidote to every fear. It's like they're saying, you know, the Chinese have supersonic missiles. I don't care what the Chinese have.
Right.
I'm not. Why? Because I know the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
I know how this thing ends.
Yeah.
So let the Chinese and the Iranians have whatever they have. I don't care. Why? Because I put my trust in the Word of God.
Right.
I put my trust in His promises. Now, if you're a strong Christian, now, again, like they were saying before, there's healthy fear. And, like, for example, if I'm outside and there's a rattlesnake, I'm not going to say,
mm-hmm.
good morning, Mr. Rattlesnake. Can we shake hands? You have to have healthy fear. You have to know that there's some things in the world that are just extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It's like taking, I'm not going to go, if I was to go to Yellowstone Park the way you did, I'm not going to walk in the woods on my own without a guide and without a rifle. Listen, you're asking to be eaten. If you go into Yellowstone Park, right?
I don't hike, but I do get out of the car and wander off a bit. But I don't hike, go hiking.
Right, but you know that in those areas where you're walking, the likelihood of there being a pack of wolves or a bear, because they too try to keep their distance from man. Those animals, but now, if you're in their domain, if you're in their apartment, guess who they're having for lunch?
Yeah,
you. Right.
I keep that in mind. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I am aware of my surroundings.
So you have to have a healthy respect for your surroundings.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's like. It's like when I walk in the woods, right, I always carry a little map with me to make sure I'm not going to cross a lake or I'm not going to – because, hey, if I'm walking on a lake and the lake is not completely frozen and I fall through that ice, forget about it. I'm a popsicle. I'm dead.
Right.
You have to have a healthy respect for your environment.
Yep.
The same thing with – look, same thing if you're out in the woods and you're lightly dressed. You better pray you find your way out before it gets dark and that temperature drops, because they can find you the next day frozen.
Exactly.
You can die of hypothermia, right? You can just freeze to death. So you have to.
And you would
have...
take your hypothermia. You would take your jacket off. You actually, people with hypothermia think that they're warm, and they start shedding clothes. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
And
you freeze.
You know, they start shedding. Yeah, and they freeze to death. Yes.
Yeah,
they
sure.
start shedding
sure.
clothes.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. No, what you do is, see, what happens is people are walking in the woods and they start to sweat underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel hot and they say, let me take this off. No, that's the worst thing you can do. That's
exactly.
the worst thing you can do. Because then now you become a popsicle.
Yeah.
So,
well, they become delirious.
Right.
With
you,
a lot
you
of,
have to have,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have a healthy respect for the world around you.
Yeah. Like
right?
walking
you
down
just,
a street at night, you know that street. You don't know what's around the corner. And if something inside of you says, don't go down there, you know, you feel that, go with that feeling. Go with that feeling. Don't take this route. Don't, you know, cut down that alley. If you
right.
have that feeling,
many times,
you know, go with it. Yeah, don't say,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I've had that feeling. I've had that happen.
Sure.
And, you know, what's inside of you tells you, no, don't go there. You don't
right.
care
it's
if
like
you know about it or not. Just follow.
Right.
That
it's
could
like
be the
when
Lord
my wife,
talking to you.
Right. It's like when my wife says, let's stop here and let's go into the store. I say, oh, no, no, don't go there. Don't go
mm-hmm.
there. Don't go in
yes.
there. Why? Because I'm going to start spending. She's right. She's going to. So I say, no, don't go there. Don't. No, that's a dangerous
yeah.
place. Don't go in there. And she gives me
the spending.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So no, I don't want to go in there.
Oh, right.
It's amazing. Yep. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what these wonderful gentlemen have to say. That this is great.
Yeah.
That was Dr. David Pallison from his book, How Sanctification Works. And Dr. Pallison says we struggle both with what we face and with who we are. That's very true. But even so, thanks be to God that his elect can rely on these comforting and reassuring words from the psalmist in Psalm 103:14. Psalm 103, verse 14, the psalmist writes this, for he himself, that is God, for God knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. So, again, I just want to say that at the outset of this episode, so as to try to establish some context as well as some expectations, Omaha, for what this episode is intended to be and what it is not intended to accomplish. Any
mm-hmm.
thoughts on that?
No, I appreciate the way that you opened this segment. And I want to charge our listeners at this point, as most folks who follow us on Just Thinking know, when we cover a particular topic, man, we do so incredibly, first of all, biblically. That's our primary responsibility. What does the Bible have to say about the issue at hand? And then secondarily, we bring a lot of resources to bear, and this episode is no different. As I examine the landscape of culture, I can't think of a time when there was more fear actually happening in the personal lives of individuals. And this is one of those times when this particular episode, I think, is just incredibly timely. And so my challenge to listeners would be, one, to get a pen, some paper. In your opening monologue alone, Daryl, you've already cited three different authors, quoted three different verses of scripture, and we're just opening up to set the boundaries and guidelines. And so
mm-hmm.
as this particular episode unfolds, I think you sent me 26 different authors that you're going to
yeah.
quote during the course of this.
Mm-hmm.
I've added another 10 authors to that based upon my commentary as this episode unfolds. So within this, you're going to have 36 different authors whose books I would commend to you as reading. So if you're in a state of fear and you're dealing with this issue on a daily basis, as many of us are, there may be through the course of this episode a particular author or a book that we're going to encourage you to go out and grab and you know, put that in your library as a part of what helps you navigate the issues of the day. Let me get back to my notes. I think we can both acknowledge that the subject of fear and anxiety is so broad that there's no possible way to address every single area of life in which someone can experience fear. It's great that we make distinctions, and Daryl, that you made the distinctions that you did. As always, we want to approach the subject biblically. As we do, it's essential to identify the differences between godly fear, as found in Proverbs 9 and 10, which says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight, and fear that one experiences as the result of the fear of man, Matthew 10:28, which says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Matthew 10:28. One of the things that I want to add to what I'm sharing here is Daryl started by unpacking the fear you should have, and he used the example of a spider. Yet there's fear that's there because you understand the fallen world in which we live and the nature of death, and and the seriousness with which that situation would put you in. But what's happening in culture is far different from that kind of fear. Today, however, culture, mainly the media, seems to peddle in the fear of man. You just take a quick look at the front pages of any major media outlet, and you'll find what you'll find is an endless parade of fear as a part of headline news. Let me give you a couple of examples. I was perusing CNN.com at the time of this recording, and they had the following stories. Earthquake strikes near Haiti. Dozens have died after the magnitude 7.2 earthquake, and one hospital, here's the fear, and one hospital is overwhelmed without supplies. So again, what not just that the horrifying tragedy that took place in Haiti with the earthquake, but the fear adding on to that of hospitals being without supplies. Add to that, another one said, quote, Antarctica is melting. Its future could be catastrophic. And again, here's the peddling in anxiety and fear. Finally, there's a story taking direct aim at fear as it reads, still people have fear what life is like in some cities after the Taliban. And so this is the issue overseas where the Taliban is wreaking havoc back again on Afghanistan. And the headlines are really focused on the fear that's surrounded by that simple example. Here in the United States, we have everything from CRT to COVID to socialist communism that are on the rise. And all of this creates a tremendous amount of anxiety and fear. It's time for us, again, to address this topic with biblical clarity as we get things started. So as we broach this topic, man, I'm reminded of a conversation, Daryl, that I had earlier this week with Dr. Josh Bice. He was reading to me in his office a quote from Calvin, and I thought it was really apropos in the context that we'll find ourselves in and as it relates to the topic of fear. As we do on the Just Thinking podcast, we always want to immerse ourselves first in the subject matter before we bring the subject to our listeners. Well, it was John Calvin who said this. This was the quote that Dr. Josh Bice shared with me last week. It's a quote from Calvin. It says, quote, if a preacher is not first preaching to himself, better that he falls on the steps of the pulpit and breaks his neck than preach that sermon, end quote. And so as we think about Calvin's words in that instance and how important it is for those who are sharing the truth, who are sharing the word in this instance as it pertains to Calvin's quote, that they immerse themselves in what, you know, the content, the subject matter that they're sharing. I think it's important for you and I as we begin this process to examine our own hearts and lives and make sure that we have a proper biblical fear of God, not the fear of man, and that we understand the nature of the fallen world in which we live. So I'll open that up as my kind of opening monologue to get things started, Daryl. What you got for us, brother?
Yeah, that was, first of all, I need to say that was a fire quote from Calvin, bro.
Yeah.
That quote was fire, but
yeah.
What do you expect from Calvin?
Right.
You know, I mentioned earlier on how that there's a distinction to be made between sinful fear and anxiety and fear and anxiety that is healthy and normal within the context of God's common grace, which he bestows upon each of his image bearers. Now, the approach I like to take in contrasting the two is to leverage an illustration from the banking and finance industry in which I spent many years regarding how to distinguish between counterfeit currency and the real thing. The way that people in the FBI and the Department of the Treasury and the Secret Service become so proficient at recognizing counterfeit currency is that they spend countless hours studying the real thing. Now, my point here is that when you learn to recognize what legitimate fear and anxiety actually are, you're then able to distinguish between that and illegitimate or sinful fear and anxiety, and subsequently to respond accordingly, which is to say to respond biblically, okay? It is an unfortunate reality, Omaha, that most people, including many professional Christians, define fear and anxiety through the subjective lens of their own situational and circumstantial experience, as opposed to through the objective and fixed lens of the Word of God. Now, I say that in light of these words from the Puritan John Flavel, who in his book titled Triumphing Over Sinful Fear said this, quote, there is as much diversity in people's inward moods and dispositions as in their outward features.
Mm-hmm.
Some are as frightened as rabbits and jump at every sound, even a dog's bark. Some are as bold as lions and face danger without trembling. Some fear more than they ought, and others when they ought not at all. The carnal person fears man, not God. The strong Christian fears God, not man. The weak Christian fears man too much and God too little. There is a fear which is the effect of sin. It springs from guilt and hurries the soul into more guilt. There is a fear which is the effect of grace. It springs from our love to God and his interest and drives the soul to him in the way of duty. The less fear a person has, the more happiness he has, unless, of course, it is that fear which is his happiness and his excellence. Let me repeat that sentence. The less fear a person has, the more happiness he has, unless, of course, it is that fear which is his happiness and his excellence.
Mm.
It cannot be said of any person, as it is said of Leviathan, he is, quote, made without fear, unquote. That's Job 41:33b. The strongest people are not without some fears. When the church is in the storms of persecution and almost covered with waves, her most courageous passengers may suffer as much from the boisterous passion within as from the storm without. This is the result of not thoroughly believing or seasonably remembering that the Lord, admiral of all the oceans and commander of all the winds, is on board the ship to steer it and preserve it from the storm, unquote. That was John Flavel from his book, Triumphing Over Sin.
Paul put it this way: be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Storms, yep. Hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards, earthquakes, famine, all that's going to come. But what do? You turn to God in faith.
Yes, and we also need to remember that shepherds, you know, like, you're talking about shepherds, the different kind of shepherds. They go through, there's a tribulation to get to the greener pasture. If we're looking at the great and chief shepherd, you know, in order to get to that greener pasture, sometimes you go through the darkness to get to the light. You know, there's some darkness that you're going to go through to the light. So, you know, that goes along with what you were saying. That thing about Calvin there remind me a lot of your teaching too, what he said about Calvin, you know, about them standing up to preach, you know, and they're not preaching what the Lord would have them preach.
Yeah,
go ahead and comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're a phony preacher, if you're going to preach to hustle the people, and to go through the motions, and you're not really taking this thing seriously, it's better that you break your neck before you even go up there and open your mouth.
Yeah.
If you're a hypocrite, you know,
that's
if you're
quite
acting,
blunt. He was quite
right.
Blunt, wasn't he?
Sure.
But
sure.
It's true.
Because it's just serious work.
Yeah.
It's very, very serious work.
Yep.
And you can't fool around with this stuff. You just can't.
Not at all. Not at all. And you're absolutely right. I mean, it just went along with me with, you know, the classes that you had. That matched up what Kelvin said there. Matched up. It was just blunt the way he said that. But, you know, basically that's the same thing you're saying. What Kelvin said.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's more like, I'll snap your neck. And I'm more, you know, just realize and take serious that this job that you have from the Lord, he's going to hold you accountable on the day of judgment.
Yeah.
Because there is a day of judgment for pastors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's a few things that they said that I want to just go back to. And one is we have to remember that this agenda that we're dealing with, they peddle fear. fear of man. That's exactly what this agenda peddles.
Right.
So, you know, what they say they're going to do and what God allows could be two different things. Now, they
right.
may say, I'm going to do this and this is what we're going to do, you know, especially in the church world with the church. You know, they may say what they're going to do to the church, but it's what God allows them to do
right.
at the end of the day, you
right.
know. So you can't believe everything. And, you know, we'll give an example. When Paul was chased down by the government and the church leaders, he escaped every time
mm-hmm.
until his assignment was completed.
Right.
And when it was completed, you know, when his time was at hand, he knew it. He knew it was the time to stop. You know, that's it. I'm done.
That's it.
He knew
yeah.
it. He accepted it willingly, you know.
Yeah, because we're not going to live forever. Everybody's got to check
exactly.
out at one time or another.
Yeah.
We're all checking out. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know anyone.
And he went.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who went to Disney World and then stayed there forever. No,
yeah, exactly.
You know, or, you know.
Good way to put it.
Sure, sure. Even your kids. Your kids check in. They're born, right? They check in.
Mm-hmm.
Then at 22,
yep.
23, you're telling them, are you looking for an apartment?
Yes, they check out.
Because
check
you
out.
Want them to, you want them to check out, right? And then they get
yep.
married and they come over for Thanksgiving and you say to your wife, aren't we glad that they're only here for 2 days? And then
yes.
after, you know, you're kissing them goodbye and, come, you know, we'll see you at Christmas.
Yeah.
And they were only there for 2 days, but they're checking out.
Yeah.
That's it,
yep.
you know.
It.
So it's the same thing in this world. We're not going to stay here forever.
Right.
I'm looking forward to working as much as I can for the Lord. But then when
mm-hmm.
my time is up, I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go meet the rest of the people that went before me.
Yeah.
Right? With no regrets,
yeah.
no anxiety, no, you know.
Yeah. Well, fearing God and not man, that's the key. You know, if you think about it this way, this is the way I always tell, you know, people. At the end of the day, would you rather stand before the wrath of men or the wrath of God? Your choice.
Right.
Only one can hurt you eternally, right?
There you go.
So
there
are you
go.
You know, there's only one that can hurt you eternally. So one can take your body, but the other one can take both. So think about it. Do you want to stand before God, you know, his wrath or man's? There's
right.
two choices. You stand before man. You know, let the man, whatever he's going to do, let him do.
Sure.
Standing before
sure.
God, that's a scarier thought to me.
Oh, my goodness. Please.
I know. I know. That scares me.
One of those passages that you're going to be reading, it says,
mm-hmm.
It is a fearful thing to
yes.
fall into the hands of the living God.
Absolutely.
Right? It's
yes.
a fearful. I mean,
yep.
if anything spooks you, it's that you're falling
yep.
into God's hands and he's going to deal with you. That's a scary thing.
Yeah. And that would be the thing. If I was going to say that if I had any fear, that would be it for me, the biggest fear that
right.
you could ever have. That'd
right.
be something, oh, no. Oh, please, Lord, don't let me go down the wrong path, you know?
Sure.
Don't let
sure.
me, you know. I mean, honestly, that's the fear that I have. But, you know, like I said, this agenda is going to peddle a lot of fear. Hugo did a couple of shows on the media and how the media
right.
used for fear. I didn't play those. But one of them, he understands how the media uses this fear in this agenda. And they were closing schools like in England because there was an invasion of spiders in the school. That's what they said.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Now, they may have had a few spiders in the school somewhere, the media blew it up to that the spiders were taking over. They had to keep the kids home, you know, and the rats were taking over the city. You know, they blow everything out of proportion, and it really, that's instilling fear. That's a part of this agenda. So you need to recognize that, you know, go ahead.
And now, look, you got Jennifer LeClaire, right? Jennifer LeClaire. How
does perfect example.
Right. How does Jennifer LeClaire, how does she make all her money?
Fear.
She tells people there's demons everywhere.
Yeah.
This demon, that demon. Come here. Let me tell you about this demon. Let me tell you about that demon. Right? And that's how, she has a whole ministry that's just about demons.
Yeah.
She's the demon. She's the demon news network, is where she is, because that's all she does. She just reports on demons. Same thing with Paula White. How did Paula White make all her money all those years?
Yeah.
You know, this plague and this thing.
I can think of a lot of things, but I'm not saying it.
Right.
So go ahead.
Jensen Franklin with his spirit of Python.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Same thing. It's the New York Times bestseller. Based on what? Fear. Fear.
Yes.
Listen, fear sells. You know, think about it. Think about there's a whole genre of movies in Hollywood that just make lots of money. Horror movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People can't get enough of horror movies. I've been scared enough. I don't want to be scared anymore. The next year, they put out horror movies, and the movie theaters are just packed with people wanting to be scared.
Yes.
This is a crazy world.
It is.
Right.
And, you know, there's an important point here that you just made. When Jennifer LeClaire and people like that, the NAR people, came into the church, that's the one thing they peddled was, you know, pandemonism,
right,
and worse.
Sure.
And they're bringing up different, demons from different religions. They're bringing that into the church.
Mm-hmm.
They're peddling that, which shows you that they're a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
You see? They're a part of taking down the church with this. So that was a good point you just made, and it occurred to me when you said that. That's why they're doing it.
Sure.
It's to make money and to also ruin the church. I mean, and put them in fear. I mean, think about all the demons that she comes up with. And then, you know, you have thousands upon thousands of people that believe that. They wake up every day. They're not sure what demon they're confronting. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Every day of the week.
Right.
Terrible. I mean, they keep them in a constant state of fear.
Constant. Take, for example, that guy that you did a lot of series on. His name escapes me, but he's part of the Knights of Malta. What's that guy's name?
Rick Joyner.
Rick Joyner. Okay. You look at Rick Joyner's ministry. What? We need to prepare an army. We're going to lose this country. We're going to declare war. What are you
mm-hmm.
doing, dude? Come on. What are you doing? He's peddling fear.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You look at Donald Trump. Aside his presidency. What do you think Donald Trump's going to be pushing to get in? He's going to be pushing the same thing Biden pushed to get. Biden was telling the world, you better be fearful of Trump. Trump is going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is going to do that. So people voted Biden in out of fear. Trump's doing the same thing.
Yes.
Biden's going to do this. And look, there may be some kernel of truth in the fact
mm-hmm.
that both Trump and Biden are crazy. There may be a kernel of truth to that. But we Christians are not to be filled with fear. Why? Because God sits on the throne.
Yeah. God has not given us the spirit of fear.
Right. I mean, look.
But a power and loving of a sound mind.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like the fact. It's scary to have Governor Hochul as my top official in this state. That lady's crazy. I mean, she got it. She went into a church and says, "You are my apostles." That's scary stuff, right? But it's still, what I mean by scary, I mean it's retarded scary because she's retarded.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by that. But I know God's on the throne. She doesn't have any apostles. She's just crazy in the cabeza. She's got loose screws in the head. But it's stupid scary. Not scary scary, but stupid scary. Because they're so moronic.
Right.
You know, they're so they're all peddling. If you listen to them, it's like this and this and this and this. And wait a minute, you're a fear monger.
Yes. Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, sometimes the meditation on the fear is worse than the thing itself, the fear itself.
Right. Sure.
You know,
sure.
When they can keep
sure.
you meditating on that fear, you know.
Listen, at the beginning of the year 2012, people were talking about the Mayan clock, the Mayan clock.
Mm-hmm.
How
I remember that.
The Mayans predicted that on December 21st, 2012, the world was going to come to an end, right? So now, mind you, it's December 20th. It's the last month of the year. So what were they doing all year long in January, February? Oh, the clock is ticking. The world's coming to an end. So I said, my wife's birthday's on the 21st of December. I said, sweetheart, do you want to celebrate your birthday on the 20th? Because the next day everything's going to blow up. let's make reservations for the 20th since we're not going to be around on the 21st.
Right.
I don't want you to get cheated out of your birthday. So, you know, they peddle fear. They peddle fear.
Exactly.
You know, that's it. Look at all the ministries that make money on, look, tithing. What do pastors get in the pulpit? They go to Malachi 3. Listen, you are going to be cursed with a curse if you don't tithe. What are they pushing?
Yeah.
Fear.
Fear. Yep.
Right? God's going to curse you.
And twisting scripture.
Right.
Yeah.
God's going to curse you because you didn't give 10%.
Yeah.
They're pushing fear. Most of that money is given because people are scared. They're afraid of God, that God is their pastor. God is just as wicked and as, you know, temperamental as their pastor. That's what they think. So they give the
10%. That's a good point about the tithing and how they use that even in that.
Listen, I sit back and I just watch these people, all of them operate on fear. All of them.
Right.
Right? All of them.
Right.
So sit back and you'll see that they're scaring you about nothing. This Omicron thing, what do we have to – look, when it's my time to go, it's my time to go.
Exactly.
That's it. Right? Well,
yep.
When it's your time to go, it's your time to go. What are you going to do? You're going to stop? You're going to stop the day of your departure? No. It's coming.
Yep.
It's right? It's coming. So that's it. All right. Let's listen to these wonderful guys.
Okay.
Come on, computer. Stop acting silly.
I want to repeat that last sentence from Flavel. Flavel said that our fears and anxieties are the result of not thoroughly believing or seasonably remembering that the Lord, Admiral of all the oceans and commander of all the winds, is on board the ship to steer it and preserve it from the storm. Now, I'm intrigued by Flavel's use of that phrase, seasonably remembering, Omaha. And I don't want our listeners to miss that because I think it's a very important phrase. The reason I'm intrigued by Flavel's choice of words there is because I'm convinced that it's in those, quote, seasons, unquote, of trial and adversity that many professing Christians tend to succumb to sinful fear and anxiety in their life. This ongoing COVID reality that we're all currently dealing with is in one way or another, a very tangible and palpable example of one of those seasons, if you will. And it's in these types of seasons, as Flavel said, that many professing Christians tend to forget that the Lord is, as John Flavel said, aboard the ship to steer it and preserve it from the storm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what happened to the Apostle Paul in the 26th, 27th, 28th chapter of the book of Acts when he boarded that ship to Rome and it was caught in a storm.
Right.
And the, yep. And here's another passage that you're going to come across. An angel appeared to him and said, "Fear not, Paul, for this ship, you will not drown. Not you nor any of the men in this ship will drown. You, Paul, will make it to Rome."
Yep.
See, God is in control. Oh, listen, we're not denying storms, but the storms are not going to prevent us from doing what God would have us to do. Or be where God would have us to be. We're gonna get there. You know, it is what it is. You know, that's it.
That's exactly it. And understanding that's where the sovereignty comes in. See, and I hate to keep harping on that, but it's such a big part of it. Such a big part of overcoming these fears is understanding his sovereignty, God's sovereignty.
Look,
once you understand that, it really does take away a lot of anxiety that you have over things, that you could have over things.
Let's take for example the Hal Lindseys of the world. The Jack Van Empies of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who every week would tell you about end times and this is what's coming and the Antichrist. And okay, you see, now, are we scaring people to tune into the broadcast? See, I would prefer, this is me now. I prefer that people tune into this broadcast so that they can get educated.
Mm-hmm.
Not so that we can scare them, but so that they can become informed.
Exactly.
See, Hal Lindsey and a lot of those other guys, they too operated in fear. Why? Because they're selling stuff. And look, I keep hating to make that connection, but you see, they understood that if you can scare people, they'll buy stuff and they'll give money.
That's right.
See?
That's right.
And they promoted
the fear but never promoted the answer. What is the answer? You know, they never, you know, the answer was to give, I guess.
Right. Well, look, the great late planet Earth. What was that book all about? Mm-hmm. It's Chicken Little. The sky's falling. Okay, but wait a minute. The sky can't fall because the Son of Man will appear in the sky. With 10,000 of his angels. So you see, so I want to inform people, they scare people.
Mm-hmm.
This is not to scare you into tuning in every week. This is to keep you abreast, to keep you intelligent, to keep you thinking.
Yep.
See? Whereas they want to scare you. Oh,
exactly.
the python is coming for your family. Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
See,
they're using the sinful fear to their advantage. That's what they're doing. You know.
They're using people's gullibility, right? People are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I have to say a lot of people, look, and it's not that, see, here's the difference. Jesus' sheep are not stupid because Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. Another they will not follow." So you and I and people like us, like Daryl and Virgil, they're not going to follow the fear mongers. Why? Because we are intelligent enough to know the voice of Jesus. We don't scare easy. In fact, we don't even scare at all. Why? Because we know he's in complete control.
Right.
Now, the dumb sheep, oh, my goodness, they're afraid to death. Why? Because they don't know the voice of Jesus.
Correct.
And a lot of preachers, sadly, will use the end time theme. Listen, Jesus mentioned end time prophecies and themes and events to his disciples, not to scare them, but so that they would be forewarned and prepared.
Correct.
Today,
exactly.
Today they're scaring people.
Yep.
It's like that. Look, it's like that guy Jonathan Cahn who wrote The Harbinger, right?
Yep.
I mean, it was a big time. That book was a big time hit. I mean, they couldn't print enough books. The Harbinger made lots and lots.
Yep.
I mean, it put that guy on. By the way, it put Jonathan Cahn on the map because nobody had ever heard of him before the book. Now, let me ask you: has anything in The Harbinger come to pass? Zero.
No.
Nope. Zero.
His last name was a clue.
Right. Zero. None of it
yep.
is. None of it has come to pass. He put out a book, him and Hagee, The Red Moon. Has anything come to
mm-hmm.
pass? This is the last Red Moon.
Blood Moon. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Has any of that come to pass? No. But they sold a ton of books.
Exactly.
That's what they do. That's what they do. Instead of informing the people, they're scaring them.
Yep.
And we just want to inform
right.
people.
We have the church doing that. You have the church doing that, you know. But you also have now the world doing that, you see. We have this agenda going on that's based on fear. Fear,
and
they can control you with fear.
And listen, I will submit to you that the church got this from the world. The church learned, the church learned how to, they learned from the world. Oh, that's how the world makes money. Let's do that.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
You look at the way the church raises money today. All of it is worldly. All of it.
Yep.
Right? So,
yep.
There you go. All right.
You're right.
In fact, I wouldn't be at all surprised if John Flavel may have had in mind Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 and 27. I wouldn't be surprised if he had that passage in mind when he penned those words that I quoted just a couple moments ago. I'm going to read Matthew 8, verses 23 and 27. When he, that is Jesus, got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" That was Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27. Now, our listeners may be interested to know, Omaha, that it is from verse 26 of that passage in Matthew 8 that we took the title for this episode of the Just Thinking Podcast, Why Are You Afraid? Because for the Christian, anyway, this matter of sinful fear and anxiety is fundamentally a matter of what we allow into our minds, and more specifically, what we choose to allow our minds to dwell on as a replacement or substitute for dwelling on the truth of God's Word. Now, I say that in light of such passages as Philippians 4, 6a, be anxious for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
2 Timothy 1, 7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28a, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. Then there's Matthew 6, 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, those verses are just some of the scriptures that are easy enough for us to remember and recall when things are going well for us in life.
Mm.
But when some unexpected or unanticipated difficulty or trial providentially interrupts our lives, those verses and the truths they contain suddenly aren't so easy for us to recall.
That's good.
Because it's in those unanticipated situations and circumstances that we actually have to put those truths to work by faith.
Yep.
As I said before, Omaha, it's easy to be like Jesus until you have to be like Jesus.
That's good, man.
But what we as followers of Jesus Christ have to remember in those instances is that, as I said earlier, those situations are all providentially ordained and orchestrated by God himself. I say that in the context of one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, Omaha, you know what it is, particularly with regard to the situations and circumstances that may produce fear and anxiety within us. And that verse is Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14, which in the non-Arminian Bible reads like this: in the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, remember, God has made the one as well as the other.
Mm.
That's Ecclesiastes 7:14. In the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, remember, God has made the one day as well as the other. Now, I've often said that if you can get the words of Ecclesiastes 7:14, words that reinforce the absolute sovereignty of God over everything that happens to us, if you can get those words firmly and deeply embedded into your heart and mind, you'll never have a bad day. Never. You will never have a bad day. If you can grasp the context and the import of Ecclesiastes 17, you will never have another bad day. And yet, in light of the exhortation that we have in Ecclesiastes 7:14 to, quote, remember that God has made the one as well as the other, unquote, the question for us becomes, when we are overcome with sensations of fear and anxiety, what are we choosing to remember in those moments?
Mm.
What are you choosing to remember in those moments when those sensations of sinful fear and anxiety overcome you? What are you choosing to set the focus of your mind on? Now, I pose those questions because the truth is that whatever you choose to set your mind on in those moments when you're feeling fearful and anxious, and it is a choice. It's a choice that you make. Whatever you choose to set your mind on in those moments, whatever you choose to set your mind on is precisely the thing that is going to guide and direct you in those moments. Did you hear me? Whatever you choose to fix your mind on, that's what's going to guide you in those moments. Now, I want our listeners to ruminate on that as I read the following quote from Dr. Edward T. Welch. Dr. Edward Welch, in his book titled Running Scared, subtitled Fear, Worry, and the God of Rest. Dr. Edward Welch, from his book, Running Scared, Fear, Worry, and the God of Rest, Dr. Welch said this, quote, anytime you love or want something deeply, you will notice fear and anxieties because you might not get them.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you can't control the fate of those things you want or love, you will notice fears and anxiety because you might lose them. Good insurance policies might help, but they only lessen the risk on things that aren't our real worries. They can't ensure that our loved ones will outlive us or keep us from the ravages of old age. Control and certainty are myths, unquote. Did you hear me, listener? Did you hear that last sentence from Dr. Ed Welch from his book, Running Scared? Dr. Welch said control and certainty are myths. You know, Omaha, it was many years ago, back in my Arminian days, before I was exposed to Reformed theology and the doctrines of grace, that a former pastor of mine, whose name many of our listeners would recognize, they would likely know if I would have mentioned it,
mm-hmm.
said something that has stuck with me to this very day. A former pastor friend of mine said, the battlefield of Satan is the mind.
Mm-hmm.
The battlefield of Satan is the mind. The 17th century English Puritan William Grinnell wrote this, quote, the fiery darts of Satan, which the believing soul is able by faith to quench, may be described as of two sorts. First, either those that do pleasingly entice and bewitch with some seeming promise of satisfaction to the creature, or second, such as affright and carry horror with them, unquote. So that's William Grinnell. William Grinnell says there's two types of flaming arrows from Satan that we can expect. The first will be arrows that please and entice and bewitch us with some seeming promise of satisfaction. But the second arrow is the arrow that causes fear and anxiety, or what Grinnell described as affright and horror. The Puritan theologian Richard Sibbes had some wise counsel for us concerning guarding our minds against Satan's tactics in his classic book titled The Bruised Reed, where he writes this. This is Richard Sibbes from his book titled The Bruised Reed. Quote, "Are you bruised? Be of good comfort. He calls you. Conceal not your wounds. Open all before him and take not Satan's counsel.
Uh-huh.
Go to Christ, although trembling, as the poor woman who said, 'If I may but touch his garment,' Matthew 9:21. We shall be healed and have a gracious answer. Go boldly to God in our flesh. He is flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone for this reason, that we might go boldly to him. Never fear to go to God, since we have such a mediator with him, who is not only our friend, but our brother and husband. Let the world be as it will. If we cannot rejoice in the world, yet we may rejoice in the Lord. His presence, that is, the Lord's presence, makes any condition comfortable." Unquote. Wow. That was a period of Richard Sibbes from his book, The Bruised Reed. And I just want to make sure our listeners heard that last sentence. Sibbes said that the Lord's presence makes any condition comfortable. And yet, in spite of that truth, I wonder how many professing Christians listening to me right now are struggling with sinful fear and anxiety due to the fact that they are discontent with their present condition, as Sibbes put it. I say that in light of what the Puritan writer Thomas Boston says in his book, Human Nature in Its Fourfold State. Human Nature in Its Fourfold State. The Puritan Thomas Boston says this: "Is not everyone by nature discontented with his present lot in this world, or with some one thing or other in it? This also was Adam's case, Genesis chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Some one thing is always missing, so that man is a creature given to changes. And if any doubt this, let them look over all their enjoyments, and after a review of them, listen to their own hearts, and they will hear a secret murmuring for want of something else. Though perhaps if they considered the matter aright, they would see that it is better for them to want than to have that something." Unquote. Wow. That was...
Yeah, and they're quoting the Puritans, and the reason why they're quoting the Puritans is because the Puritans were pastors / counselors. See, all of the Puritans were all masterful theologians, but they didn't stay up there, you know, in the clouds. They came down among the sheep and shepherded the sheep, and then not only shepherded them, but gave them wise counsel. They were great counselors. Is what we call practical theology. See, there are people who are just into theology and their heads are in the cloud, but then they don't know how to relate to a congregation. The Puritans were great at theology, but even greater at practical theology. How do I make my church members understand this and get them to apply it in their life?
Yeah.
That's the key.
They weren't in the classroom. They were among the people.
That's it. That's it. That's it. That's There are people that just want to be in the pulpit and not among the sheep. And they must remember to always be among the sheep and identify with the sheep's hurts and the sheep's anxieties and their fears and address them. How do I address your situation? This is how I address it. So
the Puritans, you know, they faced a lot because they faced their life, you know, life and death. In many cases, you know, and I can tell you a bit about the Puritans too. They wanted nothing to do with the Pope or Rome. You know, I mean, you could look at it, you know, like today. So when Henry VIII created the Church of England, he only did it to marry Anne Boleyn, not for religion per se. He didn't, because the Puritans were unhappy with this because he got rid of the Pope and the idols, but he kept the doctrine. the Roman Catholic doctrine in most of its ways. You know, it's rituals and doctrines. And the Puritans, and there were quite a few of them, they wanted pure doctrine. That in the C of E, and they knew that it wasn't in Rome.
Right.
You know, so they were the ones that were persecuted wouldn't go with the C of E, Church of England, or with Rome. The ones who were persecuted wanted pure doctrine. You know, there was nothing about self-preservation with them. It was about the doctrine.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, they were an example to many people, you know, of how to die, be a witness, you know,
yep,
for Christ.
Sure, sure.
And they,
sure.
Great. I mean, they're fantastic. You know, I was reading, and you know that one of my ancestors was Puritan, and I can go back in history. And one of the things I found fascinating is the thing, he left his kids a lot of, you know, the land and all that, but the most
right.
precious thing he left was to his wife, and that was his Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? That
yeah.
was so fascinating to me. He left
sure.
his wife his Bible. The kids got everything else. But
mm-hmm.
to him, that was the most precious thing he could give her that he
right.
had. That's amazing. Little
amazing.
Tidbit there
sure.
about them,
sure.
you know, that I knew
yep.
about. And I found that fascinating.
Yep. All right. So it's 1:47. We have 13 more minutes. Let's see if we can squeeze a little bit more out of this audio here.
1:47 is that? Because I only had on my notes here.
No, I'm saying the clock, our clock.
Oh.
Says 1:47.
Oh, okay.
We're
already at 1:47.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll play a few more.
Thomas Boston from his book Human Nature and Its Fourfold State. Now, before I hand it over to you, Armahal, for your thoughts, I want to go off script for just a moment and say that those words from Thomas Boston take me to Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, where we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who are about to be thrown into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar for refusing to worship the golden image mm-hmm. that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. I want to read Daniel 3, verses 15 through 18. Now, if you are ready, at the moment, this is King Nebuchadnezzar speaking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, that was Daniel 3, verses 15 through 18.
Mm-hmm.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar, our God will deliver us from this flaming furnace, but even if he does not, we still are not going to worship you or your golden image. You see, Omaha, that's the kind of sanctification and spiritual maturity that every professing believer in Christ should aspire to attain.
Mm-hmm.
To be so secure in our belief and trust in God and in his character that we can say, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if he does not answer my prayer or resolve this situation or circumstance in the manner that I would like, I'm still going to remain faithful to him and trust him nonetheless so that my heart and mind are at peace with any and all circumstances because I have the peace of God, which Scripture says in Philippians 4:7 surpasses all human comprehension and understanding.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to be. We want God to bring us to a place in our sanctification and maturity that we can say, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yes, Lord, I want you to deliver me. I want you to resolve this situation, but even if you don't, that's what we want to get to.
Yeah.
Thoughts, bro.
Absolutely. Man, the quote that you raised by the Puritan theologian Richard Sibbes when he said his presence makes any condition comfortable, I automatically went back to the text of scripture that you quoted earlier from Ecclesiastes 7:14, because the way this works, if you're thinking about what it says in Ecclesiastes 7:14, it says this: in the day of prosperity, be happy, but in the day of adversity, remember God has made one as well as the other. And I know that's your favorite verse. If anybody has followed the Just Thinking podcast for any lengthy period of time, they know that's your favorite verse. And the reason, and I love what you said when you talked about how if you can really settle that in your heart, you'll have a good day. The reason that's possible is because of the fact that you understand that God's presence makes any condition comfortable. That's why you can have a day that if focused rightly on the Lord, not that the situation may not be tragic or sad, but if your focus is on the fact that his presence makes any condition comfortable, that the presence of God makes every condition comfortable, that more than life itself, your desire is to maintain your relationship with the Lord, you can demonstrate all of what you said when you talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I always say a bad Negro. I know you always get on me about that. Shadrach, Meshach, and one bad Negro. I know. Our listeners had to know that was coming if they follow us at all. I can't hear anything else when you say that.
Bro, no.
Let me get back to what I thought.
Please,
you've been quoting. You're hilarious. You've been quoting from these Puritans, and I started thinking about the life and times of the Puritans, and about what was known at that time as Puritanism. Now the Puritans, they desired the Church of England. You know, they desired for the Church of England rather to stand more strongly and firmly upon Scripture than they did about mimicking the ecclesiology of the Church of England. Or the ecclesiology of Rome is what I meant to say with regard to that. They didn't want to be a part of Rome. They didn't want to endorse Rome and its systems and its popes and the like. They wanted a pure church, which is hence the name, the Puritans. If you consider their time, the late 1500s, the early 1600s, it was a time that was filled with religious persecution. In fact, religious persecution was at an all-time high in England during the time of the Puritans. And it was during the 17th century that nearly 20,000 Puritans emigrated to the United States. Even as the Puritans endured trials both in England and at times in the newly formed Republic, their focus was not on their situation. As you've read their remarks during the podcast, the time that they endured, they reflected upon and focused upon two things. One was the purity of the Scripture, and they focused on the providential hand of God. Now, as I reflect upon the high amount of anxiety that we all experience, and believe me, I'm not trying to minimize anyone's feelings of anxiety. However, the source of the stress is often due to the result of a misplaced focus on ourselves and our own importance.
We're going to stop it there because time's running out. If you can remember to make a little note that we stopped it at the 46-minute mark. 46 minutes. Yep. So your
Got
last
it.
Comments on this audio we've heard today.
Well, I think his example there in Daniel 3:15-18, they're the three Hebrew children, is a perfect example of something that we could encounter because Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist. A type and shadow. It's the kind of thing we could encounter. Herod is another. So, you know, I think that we should strive to understand the sovereignty of God the way they did. You know, I think we need to strive to do that. And another thing, my favorite verse is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. And then we'll go to verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's been my favorite verse for as far back as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a worthy, it's been true. If you trust in him with all your heart and not try to figure everything out yourself, he'll direct your path in the way that you need to.
And that's it. Listen, as they said, God is sovereign. Focus
yep.
on the Lord. Stay on the Lord.
Yep.
Don't listen to the media. The media has one job, and that's to scare you. Right?
Yep.
Take the vaccine. Don't take the vaccine. Take 20 vaccines. You know, get this, get that.
You know,
Trump is bad. Biden is good. God bad. Satan good. You know, just follow scripture. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
Yep. Well, great show as always. I can't wait to get back into this series because these guys are just quoting the Puritans there and, of course, scripture. And this is going to
yep.
be a great, great series on fear. And you have the last
yep.
word.
Well, I would say, and I just want to remind everyone what you said in the beginning, to please pray for Kevin and John. Just continue praying for both of them. And I hope you have a great week, and I will see you next Thursday for our last show. And hopefully, I'm hoping this series will help you deal with fear. Thank you very much. Talk to you later. Bye.
Come on and rain your love. Have mercy on me. Have mercy.